Remember to turn it on. Yep. That's a good start. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for all the good things that you give us, for our mums, for the love that they've shown us, for the love that you've shown us. Pray that our hearts will hear what you're trying to say today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, who likes getting a good gift? Don't think there's many people that don't. Especially children. When we were kids, we had a birthday or Christmas. I know I used to get pretty excited when those times came around. And particularly if we were hoping for that special gift, and we're thinking, oh, I really hope I get that. The one you've really been waiting and hoping for. It's pretty exciting if you get it. Did anyone here get a gift this week? Yep. Cool. Beautiful. A few might have even got a gift this morning for Mother's Day. Yes. What was the favourite gift that you were ever given? Can you think of something? Anyone prepared to share? No takers?
Eternal life.
Hey?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Oh, top of class for you, Kingsley. Jesus, or Holy Spirit, or God the Father is always one of the answers, isn't it? Sorry, Wendy, you going to say?
The gift that I actually remember, so it must have been special to me, was a doll called Time and Tell.
Time and Tell.
Time and Tell, wasn't she? Had a watch on, and you change the watch and tell you what the time was. Something like that. Time and Tell.
I remember a friend of my sister's got a really exciting gift from her grandma on her birthday. Can you guess what it might have been? Well, you probably won't. It was a box. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting, no. Not any old box. It was a box of tissues. Bet she was thrilled when she ripped the paper off that one. Well, I mean, can be pretty handy. If you, maybe she had a cold at the time, I don't know. But I can remember what my favourite gift was. I remember when I got it too. It was a special birthday. It was my 21st birthday. And my parents gave me some money. Well, I know most of us have received some money at some stage or other, and might not think that's that exciting. But how much money would it take to get you excited? A couple of bucks? Nah, that wouldn't do it. $10? Nah. What about $100? Nah, we're starting to talk. $100? Yeah, you could do something with that. What would you spend it on? Well, let me tell you how much money I got for my 21st. My parents gave me $1,000. And I thought, wow. I'm looking forward to spending that. And I remember knowing pretty much straight away what I was going to spend it on as well. $1,000 probably isn't as much today. It'd be worth even a lot more now. It's a while back. But I'd always wanted a Fender guitar. Because all the rock stars play a Fender guitar. They look pretty cool too. So if I got one of them, surely I could play and look as cool as a rock star, couldn't I? Yeah, doesn't quite work like that. But I bought one, and I didn't really know what I was doing. It turned out I actually got a really good one. And I've had it ever since. And I was going to bring it today, and I forgot, sorry, so you could see it. But today, We're celebrating Mother's Day as well. Mothers are one of God's special gifts to us. We didn't get to choose our mothers. God chose them for us before we were born. Unfortunately, many have become estranged from their fathers, but not nearly as many from their mothers. Because I think mothers, generally speaking, have a greater capacity for love, comfort, care, and giving of themselves. I think many of the Holy Spirit's characteristics are revealed in women, but especially in mothers, which is why the Holy Spirit was referred to as a comforter. Jesus said, I will send the comforter to you. It will help you remember everything. I know my mother was helping, really good at helping me remember stuff. So do you know God wants to give us so much more than we could ever possibly expect or imagine? So today, I want to have a look at some of the incredible and amazing gifts that God gives us and has given us. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. First, I want to go back to the Old Testament and have a look at the Israelites. God had rescued them out of Egypt, come across the Red Sea, performed many miracles. They were coming through the wilderness. Would you think they were excited about everything that God had done for them? No! They were whinging. They haven't got water to drink. They haven't got food to eat. After all that God had done, they still didn't trust him to provide what they needed. And, you know, if we think back about our lives, I know for one of the tasks that I had to do in my studies in Revival College is think about what God had done in my life. And it was amazing when I went back through and they gave us half an hour. We had to speak in front of our small group about what God had done in our lives, and I suppose those of us that were a bit older had a bit more to tell. But I remember thinking, oh, half an hour, I don't know if I'm going to be able to fill half an hour. And they give you about a 5-minute warning before the end, and I only got about halfway through. And I thought, oh, wow, okay, God has done a fair bit. And it's good to think about that sometimes. Remember the good things that God has done for us in our lives and will continue to do. And what are we expecting him to do in the future? So, thinking about the Israelites, back there in the desert, they complained to God, we haven't got anything to eat. Have you let us out here to die, just, you know, done all this stuff just so we can die in the desert? We'd be better off back in Egypt, the good old days. Back in Egypt. When we read the scriptures, do we think they were having a good time in Egypt? Oh, but at least they had meat there. They could sit around the fire and stew their meat. So easy for us when things aren't going our way to, or we can't see or don't believe that God can do for us, we start complaining, don't we? I know I've had plenty of whinges to God. But how does God respond when that happens? Exodus 16:4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. I don't know whether it was in the scriptures or I found it somewhere else. So I ran out of time to look it up properly. But when I was trying to look up what it actually was that he gave them, he said it was like wafers that tasted like honey. And they were it came down from heaven. But let's, Psalm 78 goes into this a little bit more. So we'll have a look at that. Psalm 78 says this, They stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved. They even spoke against God himself, saying, God can't give us food in the wilderness. Yeah, I know he struck the rock and water gushed out, but he can't give his people bread and meat. When the Lord heard them, he was furious. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose against Israel, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. So what did God do? In his anger, what would have we done in God's position? I don't know, well, I'll give them something that tastes pretty jolly awful. Make them choke on that. Ungrateful so-and-sos. But what did God do? He commanded the skies to open. He opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. They ate the food of angels. God gave them all they could hold. God is a generous God even when he's angry with us. Wow. Even when we don't deserve it, he's given them the food of angels, the bread from heaven. And they would have known that God was angry with them too. How do we react when someone's angry with us? Usually there's the what they call the fright, flight or fight response. Fright or freeze. Please don't hurt me or kill me. They're like stranded, we don't know what to do. I was probably more in the flight category. I'm out of here. You can't run away from God though, he's everywhere. It's a bit of a tough one. Well, fight. A few people have tried to stand up to God and haven't been particularly successful with it. But I've certainly tried to have an argument with God or have a bit of a rant if I'm not happy with something. But what's the best option? Not any of those. It's actually to run to God, because he still wants you to come to him, and he's still got good things to give us, like even what he did with the Israelites in the wilderness. He wants us to receive his forgiveness and give us the food of angels. What's more, he gives himself. When we're at a conference on Thursday night, Pastor Joe Habermeyer, or however you pronounce his surname, I was very touched by one of the illustrations that he gave. He talked about King Hezekiah in the Old Testament, and the Assyrian army had swept away Israel, the northern kingdom, because Israel was split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, which was Judah and Benjamin. Assyria had swept away all before them and was surrounding Jerusalem. Everyone was panicking, and Hezekiah wondered what to do. In those days, when you couldn't defeat it, when you knew the enemy was too powerful for you, you would try and negotiate a settlement or basically bribe them. So the king of Assyria demanded gold and silver and a huge amount, more than what Hezekiah had. He had to strip the gold from the temple doors and doorposts to be able to pay the ransom and appease the king of Syria. And I'd always sort of wondered a bit, why did he do that? Like, surely couldn't have he trusted in God? But Joe went on to talk about That's what God has done for us. He stripped heaven of its most precious possession, his son Jesus, to pay the price for us. There's no way we could pay the price for our sin. He stripped heaven of his most precious possession, Jesus, to step in our place and pay the ransom so that we didn't have to die. He gave everything. What are we prepared to give to God? We know the appropriate response as we sing today. I surrender. I surrender all. If God didn't hold back his most precious and treasured possession, his son, there's nothing he will hold back from us to enable us to serve him effectively. What is it you need? More faith? More wisdom? Whatever it is, God is willing to give you more than you can imagine. What else has he given us? As you've already mentioned, his Holy Spirit. He gave himself again. Sent his Holy Spirit to come and live in us. I know earlier in the week, in our prayer session, God showed me, it was like a birthday cake, and it was Sierra's birthday during the week. And I thought, oh, good Lord, can I? Because God has previously told me I shouldn't eat sugar. He was told me not to eat sugar. Can I have a birthday cake? Can I eat some of the birthday cake? That'd be awesome. And then I saw the birthday cake was wiped to the side, and it was a Bible. It was an old Bible. You know, obviously a very treasured, like one of those old family Bibles. And he's saying, how about eat this? And then I didn't realise at the time, it wasn't until we continued praying, God was saying, because when I'd been preparing my message for communion last week, I just had to keep coming across food and going, oh, it's all this really nice, yummy, sugary stuff, and I can't eat any of it. I really want to. I really want it. Like a drug. And I suddenly realised that what my message was last week for communion, which was the Israelites were worried about their stomachs all the time rather than the Lord himself was offering himself to them. And they weren't taking him up. They weren't grasping what was right in front of them, what was really being offered. And I suddenly realised, hang on, I'm doing the same thing right now. I've not been doing it this week. I've been thinking about my stomach. Oh, I'd really love to be able to eat sugar again, Lord. Can I please? He's going, no, here's my word. I want you to desire that even more than what you desire these things. What is, you know, what's your biggest desire at the moment? Having a nice cake. What about my word that reveals me? Tells you how you can live. Instruction manual for life. The words that give life. How much do I really desire those? The answer was clear. Not as much as I should. Not as much as he deserves. He's given us his wonderful word. That way, he's given us more. Through his Spirit, he's given us fruit. Fruit to eat and share with others. Good fruit tastes so sweet, That was interesting. When God told me not to eat sugar, I asked him, "Can I eat fruit?" "Yes, you can eat fruit." "Good! But there's even better and sweeter fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. But like all fruit, sometimes it takes a while to grow on the tree. And it's particularly important, you know, sometimes people, you know, when they're new Christians, people get impatient with them and say, you know, they're not showing any evidence that God is living in them. But it takes a while for fruit to develop. Trees have got to be fertilized, they've got to be nurtured, they've got to be pruned before you can get a good crop of fruit. Got to be watered. Of course, the water, Holy Spirit. But what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love and joy and peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus says if we live in those things, there's no law that can hold you back from living in those things. And like all good fruit, they're not meant to be kept for us. They're meant to be shared with others so that others see the goodness of God, share the goodness and wonderful things of God. So the fruit of the Spirit is about learning who we can be and becoming like Jesus, his character growing in us. But wait, we haven't finished yet. He's given us his Holy Spirit as well to build us up and encourage one another, build the unity within us as we learn to hear and understand what he's asking. I know I go to a Bible study at Teen Challenge, and they're talking about prayer. I'm talking about the word prayer means to ask. And that's all that prayer is about, is just asking God. But I think there's a lot more that they were missing. Because God talked to Moses. He talked to a number of people in the Old Testament. And when we look at the book of Acts, we see the early disciples saying things like, "It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit." They're still talking to God, talking with God, listening to him, hearing his voice, learning to understand him. As we get to know God more, the better the conversation can be. And it's all enabled through the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us. So he helps us be more like God in what we do, ministering in the power of the Spirit, using his gifts to build up the church and encourage one another, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And we don't have to look too far in our world to see there's many areas where Christians are suffering incredible persecution and under threat of jail and death and persecution and etc., etc. And we've decided to support a nation, Burkina Faso, and some of the people that are working in circumstances like that. Pastor Emmanuel over there, who's set up 10 groups of about 250 students in each of them, children and mothers that are coming to Christ and wanting to know more about Jesus and follow him. God can work anywhere with anyone, as long as we surrender and have a willing heart to want to know him more, love him more, and follow him. So, if we just summarise what we've talked about so far, God is and always has been incredibly generous with us and continues to want to accomplish so much more in us and through us by the power of His Holy Spirit. In the past, He's shown His generosity, for example, to the Israelites in the wilderness by providing them food from heaven to eat. He has given us His most precious Son to save us from death and deal with our sin and allow us to return into His presence. He has given Himself again in His Holy Spirit to live within us, change our hearts, help us become more Christ-like in our character, to show and grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives and share with others. He has given us spiritual gifts to help us, encourage us and build up those He entrusts to us. So how do we go about living in the fire and power of the Holy Spirit? Firstly, we have to receive Him, be filled, so that we can then flow out to others. In one of our other prayer nights, I think it might have been Anne, I can't remember, had a vision of an old style lighthouse where the light is actually a flame and it's run by oil. And I think that's a good analogy for us, because what happens when the oil runs out? The light doesn't burn anymore. And we need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit so that God's light will shine through us. Unfortunately, many of us burn out because we get cut off from the fuel source, the Holy Spirit. And we need that anointing oil of the Holy Spirit to keep us connected to the fuel source and the flow of the Spirit through us. Otherwise, the flame will burn out. And we see this is a constant problem in people that are in ministry, to keep, you know, they keep wanting to give. There's so much need, not just in our local community, but wherever we go. But if we haven't got anything left in the tank, we can't give anything anymore. We need to keep being connected to God through His Spirit. This is why Jesus, despite the demands of the crowd who were always searching for Him and pressuring Him for more, He would slip away to a quiet place to be with the Holy Spirit and connected to His Father, to rest, recharge, recuperate, be regenerated and refilled through His Holy Spirit and His Father. In our world, there's so much pressure and demand upon us in our society to keep going, do more, push through, work harder, work faster. Kids are crying out, "Mummy, mummy," etc., etc., wearing us down, burning us out physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Friends, that's a sure way to disaster. You know, when the devil sees this happening to people of God, he's rubbing his hands together, satisfied that he's winning, because he's just derailed and neutralized another of God's children and soldiers from the battlefield of life and wounded them enough to render them unfit for Christian service until they recover and heal. Tragically, many never fully recover from the damage of life, and because they've tried to push through without God. I've seen many wonderful ministries stunted, curtailed, or even demolished because those involved in them ran themselves into the ground. I know my friend, the late Reverend Dr. John Smith, one of the things I asked him once, because he was so popular in demand and people are saying, "Come here, there, everywhere." I said, "Is the hardest thing for you to learn what to say no to?" And he said, "Yes, it is." Because there's just so many things. "Oh, that's such a wonderful thing to go to and speak to. Or that'd be a great thing. What, you know, I can't be everywhere. I can't. I'm only one person." And there's so many worthwhile causes, so many worthwhile things to do. the only thing he could do was turn to God and say, what do you want me to do? Because if we do things, we can work as hard as we like apart from God, but it's not going to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. Sometimes we just have to cry out to God, help me, Lord, help me. What do I do? We can be so overwhelmed with the need and with our own inadequacy to meet the need. It's only with God giving us the capacity and the ability to cope and meet the need. The only way we can navigate life is to be confident in what God wants us to say yes to, and also what he wants us to say no to. And sometimes it can feel bad when we say no. But it's important to learn that we need to sometimes say no. Because Satan wants nothing more than for you and me to be burnt out with no Holy Spirit power left in us to do the work of God. If this is speaking to you, I want you to know you can have the confidence in God to push back and learn to say no. I'm going to rest in God and bask in the glorious presence of his Holy Spirit to be re-energized, and then we can be fully effective for God. And that Holy Spirit passion and fire can be rekindled through the logs of encouragement, of scripture, of prayer and fellowship. The world may say this is nonsense, but we say no. We have God sense. These are all gifts from God in themselves. We have his living word that speaks to us, teaches us and reveals his truth. We have prayer. We can come to God at any time, talk to him about anything, and he will listen to us. He will hear our requests and consider what we ask him. And he'll give us answers if we take the time to listen. We also have the fellowship in the Christian family and community, which we're a part of, where we can listen to the wisdom and advice of the elders, to enjoy each other's company and encourage one another. Finally, we have God's promise that he will, if we seek him first, give us everything we need. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for your great and amazing gifts and promises. Amen.